So I actually spent my first Rosh Hashanah actually in Israel last year. It was not so different than in America. I will say that one of the laws about it would be, let's say, that typically the holiday is the same amount of time. Obviously, with the time difference, it starts technically, I guess you could say, earlier there, but it's the same Jewish calendar day. It is something that, across the board, almost every person who identifies as Jewish celebrates in Israel, so you feel like culturally it's a legal holiday there. Just as, let's say, like, in America, Christmas or New Year's Eve, like, something like that, everyone is, even if they don't celebrate it, everyone recognizes it. It's the same type of thing there, like, all the stores are selling things for themed for the holiday and all that, so that's just more on, like, a cultural aspect. And even the most unaffiliated in terms of religious observance usually do something. They'll go to synagogue or they'll do something to celebrate the holiday. That being said, I think it is pretty recognized. It's usually on like very commercialized calendars in the United States as definitely one of the more recognized of the Jewish calendar dates, because it's like the Jewish calendar has a lot of dates and a lot of them are not known and much more like, I guess you could say, private. They're just not recognized. So definitely, that, I would say that's the biggest difference. It's more recognized in Israel, but it definitely still is pretty recognized in America as well.
How have you seen it become like commercialized over the years as you felt?
I think you're saying in Israel or in America?
In general, overall, like how like businesses might have taken the holiday to make some money off of it, or anyhow.
Okay, so it really is obviously a religious holiday, but just like anything, these days everything becomes commercialized. So it'll be like, I guess you could say like products. The first thing that comes to my mind would be, let's say, like a card, because there is like, it's not even necessarily a religious ritual, but it's more of like a nice idea to like, people would always like call up family members or friends and wish them essentially in Hebrew like a happy new year and wish them only good things and only good for the coming year and a sweet new year. So let's say like now there would be like cards for that. There would be like little packages to send people. And obviously that's not more religious or less religious, like it accomplishes the same thing to call someone up and wish them, as we say, like a Shana Tova. But now you could do that and spend however much money you want and send that package of whatever would be in that care package to a friend or family member, whether it be flowers in that theme with honey or something, or just a box of all the assorted imported honeys from across the world. So there definitely is a lot of commercialization. But that's just, I feel like, honestly, if you look at any holiday, I don't think it's necessarily related to Rosh Hashanah. Like, I think any holiday in any religion, these days people are always looking to make profit off of any opportunity that they can.
Okay. I see where you're coming from. And a question that came up, like, what's up with honey and Rosh Hashanah? Like, it keeps coming up. Like, what's the connotation with honey?
So we, in Hebrew, like, there's a word, it's called segula, and it basically means, it's basically, like, something that's representative of something. So, like, there's the idea, there's, like, in, like, it's, like, a very big part of Rosh Hashanah that we're, like, asking and praying to God to grant us a positive year. But it's, the whole holiday is based on very religious and, like, deep ideas, but it's a very, like, a positive, almost, like, relationship between God and his people. So it's basically us asking him for a positive year, and we just focus really on the positive. So when we have honey, there's a big emphasis on having a sweet new year. So honey is, like, the sweetest product that I guess we can think of. So it's like a big idea to have apples dipped in honey to be symbolic, basically, of a sweet new year. So like the school of symbolic presence, I guess, of having honey is that we should eat the honey, and so too we should have a sweet new year.
Wow, that's pretty interesting. And the final one, how do you celebrate the Gregorian New Year, so like the December 31st to January 1st in the Gregorian calendar?
Me personally?
Yes.
Personally, I don't really do much. I'm saying I always went to schools where we had school, like all my life I always had school up until college on December 31st. We would have like, not necessarily class, we would have like some sort of like programming in school or like half a day. So I don't really observe much, but like definitely people do. I'm saying like sometimes people, I just never did like, I know like people definitely will have parties or go out for dinner, but there is definitely more of an emphasis. I mean, the way I personally look at it is like my New Year is, would be Rosh Hashanah, and then I guess you could just say December 31st is just like, I mean, the way I look at it is more people just look at it as like, oh, like the ball's going to drop, like woohoo, party. That's how I look at it. So I personally don't really observe December 31st as anything significant to me.
Wow, you might be the first person I know who doesn't observe the Gregorian calendar. That's pretty interesting to know. I think that's about it for my questions. Thank you for the interview and the opportunity for me to record you for this project.
No problem. If you need anything else for follow-up questions, feel free.
All right, cool. Thanks again. Bye.
Stephanie,